Okay, Mark 4, go ahead and turn there if you will. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Mark 4, verses 1 through 20, and I'm going to give you just a minute because we're going to read it right off the bat together. Mark 4, 1 through 20. Okay, let's read this together. Again, he began to teach by the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him. So he got into a boat on the sea and sat down while the whole crowd was by him on the shore. He taught them many things in parables, and he said to them, "Listen, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell down on the rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly since the soil was not deep. When the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it didn't produce fruit. Still other seed fell on good ground, and it grew up, producing fruit that increased 30, 60, and 100 times. Then he said, "Let anyone who has ears listen." When he was alone, those around him with the 12, they asked him about the parables, and he answered them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything comes in parables, so that they may indeed look and yet not perceive, they may indeed listen and yet not understand, otherwise they might turn back and be forgiven." Then he said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. Some are like the word sown on the path. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word sown in them. And others are like seed sown on the rocky ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. But they have no root, and they are short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately fall away. Others are like seed sown on among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word. But the worries of this age, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those like seed sown on good ground hear the word, welcome it, and produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown." And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So we see here the parable of the sower. And the parable of the sower is perhaps one of the most well-known of all the parables that Jesus told in his life. And it's found in three of the four Gospels. It's found in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And you can go back and read some of those accounts and some of the other Gospels. But in our passage this morning, Jesus' disciples ask about why he teaches these parables. And I want to talk about that for just a minute. This is what I want to begin with. Why parables? Why did Jesus teach in parables? So we see here there's this large crowd of people, and they've all gathered to hear Jesus teach. And once again, this is not the first time this has happened. Once again, Jesus is teaching from a boat along the shoreline. There was crowds of people coming up, and it helped him to get away from the crowd. It helped to maximize his teaching time. And so, then others say that this was helpful because the sound of his voice would have probably bounced off the water, and so his voice would be amplified, if you will. I mean, there was no sound systems back then, nothing like that, no microphones. And so he's teaching from this boat to the crowds. And this crowd of people probably consisted of all types of people from all walks of life. I mean, all kinds of different people. And perhaps there were people that were curious about Jesus. They had heard about his miracles, and maybe they had heard stories about what had happened, so they were curious about who he was. Perhaps there were also genuine followers of Jesus. Of course, the disciples were there too. And they'd been traveling with him since he was called and appointed them. And it was in this setting that Jesus began to teach mainly in parables. Now, we're going to get to the parable of the sower in just a minute. But why did he teach in parables? I want to answer that question first. Why did he teach in parables? Well, he explains that in verses 11 and 12. And the short answer, I mean, if you just want a short answer, the short answer of why Jesus spoke in parables was to teach important messages about God's kingdom. And he used common everyday things in life that common people could understand so that he could teach very important biblical principles, kingdom of God principles. But we get to verse 12, and it's a verse that's been debated. And if you go and search about what this verse means, you're going to find all kinds of different viewpoints, all kinds of different angles of what Jesus is talking about here. And I will admit, it's a very difficult verse to understand. What does he mean in verse 12? Well, we have to look at the context of the scripture in order to understand it. So first of all, we see here that Jesus is quoting from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. I mean, it's almost word for word the verse that he speaks of there. So he teaches that, but to understand, we have to look at the context of the scripture. Now take in mind, Jesus is about to reveal the meaning of the parable. We're going to get to that in a minute. We haven't even gotten to the parable. We haven't even gotten to the explanation. Okay? He's about to reveal the meaning of the parable to his disciples only. If you notice, and we'll get to it, he tells the parable to the whole crowd, but he only gives the explanation to his disciples. Okay? So he's about to give the meaning of the parable to his disciples only, not to the whole crowd. And what do we know about the disciples? Their hearts were open and they were ready to receive God's words. I mean, that's one of the reasons Jesus appointed them. He already had followers, but it was these 12 that he noticed there was something in them that perhaps made them rise above the rest. And he saw in them, and so he appointed them, he called them, and he appointed them to be his 12 closest followers. And so the disciples' hearts were open. They were receptive to Jesus' words, and perhaps there were many in the crowds whose hearts at that time, it was difficult for them to understand. They were perhaps too hardened to understand at that time. They just weren't open to the truth, and yet Jesus recognizes this. Now, I want to say something here. It's not that their hearts were going to remain hardened forever. Or it's not that they were born without the ability to understand what was going to be taught. I mean, that's what Calvinism teaches, quite frankly, that you're born a certain way with the ability to understand or not to understand. And so it's not that their hearts were going to remain hardened forever. It's not that they were born without the ability to understand. But for now, in this moment, in this time, their hearts were too hard to understand. And they would understand this truth perhaps later in another teaching. And Jesus, being God, knew this. And so the whole purpose of the parable of the sower, as we'll get into it, is to expose the condition of the heart. That's what Jesus is trying to get at here. And so basically Jesus shows us that those who earnestly seek to understand his teachings, those who are truly seeking to understand the truths of God, those are the ones that will be guided and changed by him. But I think we understand, and the Bible teaches us very clearly, if you continually refuse the truth, if you time after time after time refuse to adhere to the truth of God's word or to listen to God's voice, your heart eventually becomes hardened. And the Bible talks about that. If you go back and read Romans chapter 1, and when Paul is writing to the church at Rome, I mean, eventually the Bible, he says that God gives them over to the depravity of their minds. So he's saying, you guys have chosen your way in life. Go and live your life. There's no hope for you anymore. I can already see that. I've given you over to that. When you continually refuse the truth, your heart eventually becomes hardened. And Jesus explained the meaning of the parable to his disciples because he knew their hearts at this time were soft and they were open to it. Now, perhaps you have a different opinion, and that's okay. This is not one of those things we divide over. I mean, you could look at this in a number of different ways, okay? And we certainly can talk more about it later. But listen, I've spent way too much time on this. I got to spend 2 hours talking about this. I've spent way too much time talking about this, and I want to get to the parable and to the explanation, because that's what's really important, and that's what Jesus wants us to understand. So let's get into it. Let's get into the parable of the sower, in verses 3 through 9. Now remember, the parable was told to the whole crowd of people. All these people gathered. They were there to listen, and Jesus tells this parable. And he tells a story about a farmer who is planting seed for a crop. Now, I want you to understand something. In this day, farmers didn't plant wheat or things like that in neat little rows. They didn't have the equipment that gave them the ability to do that. So what they would do is they would break the ground, they would soften the ground, the soil, with a wooden plow, and then they would scatter the seed by hand. And many times they would wear a bag of seeds on their hip, if you will. And so they would dip into this bag, and they would walk around, and they would just scatter the seed. They'd already broken up the ground. The ground was soft. It wasn't perfect, but it was as good as they could do it. And they would dip in, and they would scatter this seed everywhere. Now take in mind, the farmer's field might not be perfect. Okay, it wasn't pristine. Sometimes there would be weeds and there would be thorn bushes along the side of his field, and there might be a footpath along one of the sides or even right through the middle of his field. There might be rocky areas or rock underneath the soil, or even some of the soil wasn't as thick or as deep as some of the others. And so even though the farmer tried to be careful where he threw the seed, some of it would land where it couldn't grow properly. It was just not going to take root because he's just throwing the seed out there. So even though he tried to be careful, some of it was not going to grow properly. And such was the case in Jesus' parable. Now we understand the sower is Jesus, and the seed is the Word of God. I mean, I think we all pretty much understand that. And Jesus, from the very beginning of his ministry, he proclaimed the good news of God. He said, I have come to teach the kingdom of God. I've come to seek and save those who are lost. He said in Mark 1:15, he said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And so he was out casting the Word of God, casting the seed, if you will. And Jesus was the original sower, but guys, I'm going to tell you, as we understand, his time on earth was short. He only had 3 years in which to sow the seeds of the gospel. And so that's why he's handed the work off to us, to his disciples first, as we read in the Word of God, and ultimately to us. Now we have become the sower. This is why Jesus gave us his great commission in Matthew 28. To go and make disciples of all nations. He's handed this work off to us. This is why we, in a sense, have become the farmer, planting God's word by sharing it with others. And so that's the parable. He tells the parable about this farmer throwing the seeds and all these different circumstances that comes up, the hardened path, the rocky ground, the thorns and all that, and the good soil. Okay, that's all well and good, but what about the explanation? Because we really want to get, this is where we begin to understand the truth of what Jesus is talking about here. Now I want to just say before I get into it, that there are some people, and I've been one of those people, who want to spend a lot of time discussing whether or not the different types of soil represent people who are saved or lost. I mean, this one is a believer, definitely, and this one's not a believer. And you can tell by the context, you know, we spend, I think, too much time discussing whether or not the different types of soil are saved or lost. Guys, when we try to do that, it's going to drive us crazy. Because you know what? We really don't know for sure, right? I think we can be certain, looking at the context of the story, that the fourth type of soil represents someone who's really a Christian. But what about the first three? You know, as I read them, I think you could probably make a case for both. You can make a case that they are Christians, maybe not yet fully mature, or you could make a case that they represent people who are not truly followers of Christ. But guys, I don't think that's what the main point of the parable is. I don't think that's what Jesus said. We've got to figure out which ones are saved and which ones are lost. That's not the main point of the parable. I think the point that Jesus is trying to convey, based upon the context, is that the seed, which is the word of God, will be received differently by different people. And it's based on their heart condition. It's based on their heart condition. And Jesus is preparing his disciples, and really, in a sense, he's preparing us to expect four basic responses to God's truth. There are four basic responses to God's truth. So I'm just saying, don't focus so much on saved or not saved. Focus on the soil. Because I think that's Jesus' whole point. And I really think the parable could also be called, and some people refer to it, as the parable of the soils instead of the parable of the sower. Because the soil in the parable represents our hearts in relation to God's word. And so the first soil that Jesus refers to is the hard soil, right? Jesus explains that some people are like a footpath. Or their heart is like a footpath. The seed fell on the footpath, and what happened? The birds immediately came and ate it because it was there for the picking, right? Now, during Jesus' time, we've already alluded to this just a little bit. A lot of the farmland was outside the villages and towns. And there would be paths that went through the fields connecting one village to another. And so on these paths, you would have people walking. You would have animals walking. You would have people walking. You might even see small wagons going through there that would be pulled on these paths. And so over time, you guys are not, it's not too difficult to understand. You walk on dirt for a while, and there's a lot of activity. Over time, that dirt's going to become compacted. It's going to get very hard, and it can even be like concrete or like a sidewalk, if you will. And it's worn. And it's a path that, you know, that people take. And as the farmer would be throwing the seed, obviously some of the seed would fall on this footpath, these paths that were made in the midst of the field. And so birds not being dumb animals, looking for an easy meal, would simply follow the farmer and eat the seeds that fell on the hard path, because it's easy to get to. And what Jesus is saying here is that the seed on the footpath represents hearts, soils of hearts. And he says they represent people who hear the message and immediately Satan takes it away. He even says the word has been sown, he said, but their hearts are so hardened, it cannot possibly take root. It's not going to penetrate through. Now again, in my opinion, and I believe God's word teaches this, they weren't born with a hardened heart. It's not God's will for them to not have the word implanted in their hearts. And guys, we need to understand that it's not God's fault that our hearts are hard. It's our fault. It's our fault. Maybe it's our pride. Maybe we don't want to listen. Maybe we like the way that we are and we don't want to change. Maybe we have strongholds in our lives that harden us. But the bottom line, if our hearts are hard, if the soil of our heart is hard, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. And so we have this hard soil that Jesus mentioned. The second soil that Jesus refers to is the rocky or the shallow soil. Jesus explains that some people are like rocky or shallow soil. At least their hearts are. The seed is scattered. But because the soil is shallow, because there's rocks or immediately under the soil, it's not able to grow deep roots, and it's going to wilt in the sun. In the same way, some people are like that when it comes to God's word. How are they like that? They hear the message, and they even receive it with joy. Jesus says they receive it with joy, so they accept the message. They follow it. They adhere to it. They receive it with joy. And at first, everything is great. I mean, they start coming to church. They're reading the Bible. They might serve on a committee and work in VBS. But when the difficulty of life comes, like persecution from family, hardships, stress at work, just things in life that creep in, busyness and all things like that, these people began to fall away. And you see less and less of them. And it doesn't mean they've lost their salvation, but it might mean that they weren't a true Christian to begin with. I don't know. And because they didn't follow God's word and they didn't allow God's word to take root and transform their lives, they eventually fell away. When things got too hard for them, they quit. And this falling away may take months or even may take years. But the rocky heart person will grow weary and will begin to not see them anymore because they didn't allow the word to implant in their lives. The other soil that Jesus refers to, the third soil, is the thorny soil. Jesus explains that some people are like soil that has thorns. In other words, their hearts are divided, and I think that's what Jesus is really getting at here. The seed is scattered, which in return, it's choked out. So in Jesus' day, I mean, it's in our day too, but in this day, thorn bushes and weeds might be growing up along the side of a farmer's field, or these thorns and these weeds may have been in the middle of the field. And another thing that farmers did in this time, they would try to burn off the thorns and burn off the weeds. But what happened was, is some of the seeds would still remain in the soil. And so if the good seed and the bad seed mix, the bad seed would choke out the good. Now, how many times have we seen that in our own gardens or in our own yards? I mean, in our churchyard here, we have a lot of dandelions. We have to treat them year after year after year. And if we didn't treat them, eventually the dandelions would eventually choke everything out and completely take over. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus said in the same way, some people are like this thorny ground when it comes to God's word. They hear God's word, they hear it, but then it gets crowded out or choked out or pushed out by three things, Jesus said. He said the worries of this age, the deceitfulness of wealth, or the desires for other things. In other words, when I read that, they become double-minded. Their hearts are divided. And they're divided between Jesus and the three things that he mentions there. They're too worried, they're too focused on building their kingdom on earth instead of building God's kingdom, which is eternal. And guys, listen, Jesus talked about it. When we're divided, when our hearts are divided, we're going to choose one over the other eventually. Eventually, there's going to be a choosing. We're going to choose one or the other. In fact, what did he say in Matthew 6:24, he said, no one can be a slave of two masters, since either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot be slaves of God and money. He also said in Matthew 7:13-14, he said, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who will go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few will find it. And so they choose the easy way in life because they go after what the world has to offer. And guys, when I think about this, when I think about the thorny soil, when I think about a divided heart, when we don't have a singular love for Christ, our hearts will be choked out by love for what is earthly and worldly and temporary. When we're divided, when our hearts aren't totally open to the Word, we're eventually going to embrace the temporary things in life. We will appear to embrace God's truth, but eventually our desire for the world is going to take over. Because at some point we're going to make a choice. But then what was the last soil that Jesus referred to? The good soil. All right, finally we get to it, right? Some good stuff. Jesus said some people are like good soil. He said the seed is scattered, goes in, takes root, and it produces a multiplying crop. Not just then, but it continues to produce over and over and over. And so it's not really hard to understand that the good soil represents a fruitful heart. It represents people who hear God's word, they accept it, they're transformed by it, and it produces fruit that proves that they believed in God's truth. And here's the thing. It's not that the worries of this age are not going to come to the people with good soil. It's not that they're going to not be tempted by things that are temporary. When the worries of this age come around, they remain faithful to God's word. When the deceitfulness of wealth tempts them, God's word is their standard. When the desire for other things enters in, they will always align themselves with God's word. They don't just hear it, they're transformed by it. It becomes everything to them. And as a result, it's no wonder they bear the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians 5. And not only that, not only do they bear the spiritual fruit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, they go on to help others bear fruit. I mean, they make disciples. Disciples make other disciples. And those disciples make other disciples. And those disciples make other disciples. That's why we talk about multiplication rather than just addition when it comes to kingdom growth. Because you know the math. I'm not going to try to get into it. But listen, when we make disciples, those disciples make disciples. You lead one to Christ, and that one leads one. And then pretty soon you have two, and then those two lead to four, and four leads to, on and on and on. Because they're good soil. Because they produce the fruit of the Spirit. All right, so we've looked at four soils here. How do we make our hearts like the good soil? I think we all agree we want to be like that fourth type of soil, right? We want to be good. We want to be nourished. We want God's word to take root. So how do we make our hearts like good soil? Again, here's the thing. It's our fault that our hearts are hard. It's our fault that our hearts are rocky or thorny. So how do we change that? Well, here's a big statement, all right? If you don't hear anything else, hear this. We must let God's word in. We must let God's word in. Guys, there is no magic formula. And sometimes I think we wish there was. You know, if I wink while I'm hopping on one foot and I can tap my head and rub my tummy at the same time or talk and chew gum at the same time, then I'll receive what I need to have to be this great spiritual person. There is no magic formula, and nobody can do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. You have to let God's word in. There is no magic formula. We must be obedient to God's word. Guys, this is what will soften the soil of our hearts. The word of God. Because when God speaks and His Holy Spirit stirs our hearts, we have to allow Him to break up the soil to remove what? The rocks and the thorns and to grow deep roots and all that, to let everything take root, even when we don't agree or if we think it's too hard. I love this video that Penny showed earlier about Spurgeon College. I mean, that is the undergraduate program of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City. And they're training these young people, kind of like even like a pseudo-military, if you will, to be able to go into the very hard places. But when the hard times come and when the hard things come, because we're so well-rooted in the Word of God, it's not going to faze us. Because we let the Word of God take seed and take root in our hearts, even when we don't agree, even when we think it's too hard. Because here's the bottom line, guys. God's word makes the soil of our heart good. God's word makes the soil of our heart good. I've got some verses here for you. Let's read it, because these fit right in here. Hebrews 4:12, talking about the powerful, how powerful God's word is. The word of God is a living, is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword. Doing what? Penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart. That's how powerful God's word is. Jeremiah 4, 3 and 4. The prophet says, "Break up the unplowed ground. Do not sow among the thorns. Circumcise yourself to the Lord. Remove the foreskin of your hearts, men of Judah and residents of Jerusalem. Otherwise, my wrath will break out like fire and burn with no one to extinguish it because of your evil deeds." What does he say there? Remove these things. Let your heart be broken up. Let that fallow ground be broken up by my words. Listen to my words. The word of God, he says, my word is what will break up and soften your heart. And then Hosea 10:12, "Sow righteousness for yourselves and reap faithful love. Break up your unplowed ground." It's time to seek the Lord until he comes and sends righteousness on you like the rain. Again, we sow righteousness and we reap the love of God by breaking up our unplowed hearts and letting his word in. And when we seek him, he will send upon us righteousness like the rain. Again, it's God's word that makes the soil of our heart good. And guys, I'm going to say it one more time. It's not God's fault that our hearts are hardened. He didn't make them hard. Now, if you believe that, we can have a discussion later. I'll disagree with you. But that's okay. Doesn't mean you're not my brother or sister in Christ. But as I read God's word, it's not God's fault that our hearts are hardened. Doesn't mean that it's his will for us to not know the truth. Our hardness toward God is our fault. And we have to soften the hard soil of our hearts by allowing the truth to take root. We are responsible to listen. We are responsible to follow God's word. This and this alone is what will break up the hardness of our hearts. Maybe this morning your heart is hard because you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus. It's hard to let the word of God in if you don't know his son, Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to just share with you how you might know his son, Jesus, if you've never placed your faith and trust in him. We do this every week. And it's important to know what it means to be a child of God. It's important to understand what it means to be a follower of Christ. And so if you want to take that first initial step to put your faith and trust in Jesus, here's what you need to do. Admit you're a sinner. And we always say that admission is for your own benefit, because God already knows. You're not going to pull anything over on him. He already knows everything. So admit, I am a sinner and there's not one thing I can do about it. In and of myself, I can't do anything about it. And then we need to ask forgiveness of our sin. We need to turn away from it. We need to say, listen, I don't want to go this path anymore. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of living for myself. I'm tired of being selfish. I'm tired of having uncertainty. I'm tired of there being no joy in my life. Lord, forgive me of my sin, and I'm going to turn away from this, and I'm going to follow you. But in following him, we have to believe in what he's done for us. We believe that Jesus came down from heaven. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. When the point in time came, he went to the cross. He died on the cross. He was buried, but the grave didn't hold him. Amen? He came back to life. He rose from that grave, proving that he was God's gift to sinners. You have to believe in that gospel message. And then finally, commit your life to Jesus as Savior and Lord. He's your Savior because he's forgiven you of your sins, but you need to make him your Lord. Say, from this day forward, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to let your word dictate my life. Break up this hard heart. Break up this hardened soil of my heart. And Lord, today I let your word in. I'm going to follow you. Maybe today you need to make that decision. Andrew's going to come and lead us in a song of commitment. And perhaps today, you want to make that decision for the very first time. Here's the thing, you can do that right where you are. I'll be here at the front. You can come talk to me and we'll work through it together. But if you just want to do that on your own between you and God, then just say a simple prayer of faith as we're singing this song. It's between you and God anyway. Say a simple prayer of faith. Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I'm going to turn away from this sin. I believe in what your son did for me on the cross. He died, he buried. I believe all that, Lord. And today I'm going to commit my life to your son as my Savior and my Lord. Let me tell you what will happen when you do that. The Holy Spirit will come live inside of you and give you a brand new heart. And you'll be a new creation. And you can't explain it, but it just happens. And you'll belong to the Lord. And you belong to a family here, the family of God. We talked about family last week. Become part of a family of Christians. And we would love for you to be a part of that family. So maybe today you need to do that. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. I'll be here at the front. You can come talk to me. You can pray on your own. But let us know. At least do that. There's a connect card in front of you. You can fill out what decision you made. If you have a prayer request, you can drop it in the offering box on your way out. Or connect with us online. Click the connect card online. The connect link online has the same thing. It's just electronic. Same thing. But let us know so we can help you in your journey, okay? All right, let's pray. And then we'll sing and let the Holy Spirit work. Father, we thank you today for this parable that you told. And Lord, there's so many things about this passage that we could get distracted with and divided over. And Lord, let us not focus on those things. Let us focus on the truth of the parable and the explanation and how the soil of our heart can choke out or not let your seed, the seed of your word, take root. Father, help us to be the good soil. Lord, show us what we need to do in order to be the good soil today. Because every one of us here wants to be all that we can be for you. But Lord, so many times we're not. Because we worry, we let the worries of life, the deceitfulness of this life creep in. We go after those things because we think that they're going to make us happy when they don't last and they're only temporary. Lord, there's only one thing that will remain forever, and that is your kingdom. And that is your word. Father, help our hearts to be good soil today. Father, this is our prayer, and we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus.